Thank you very much for being with us today. We remember that the book of Hebrews, the theme throughout Hebrews is that of encouragement, that many of these Christians started off with great fervor and great faith. In fact, the Hebrew writer reminds them of what happened to them in the past, that they had great faith to even suffer persecution. Some of them were put in prison because of their faith. Some suffered. Some lost their possessions, their homes, and so forth while they were there in prison. But they came out still faithful, committed to Christ Jesus. And now time has gone on, and they're wore down, and they're wore out. So we're talking about having faith even when we're tired and we are wore out, wondering sometimes where our faith went. I want you to go with me on a bit of a journey this morning. Imagine meeting someone that you've never laid eyes on before, and they are very impressive. They're accomplished in just about every way. They're very wise. And yet at the same time, there isn't even a hint of arrogance about them. They're humble. They're kind. They're sensitive. They just seem to offer hope when this person talks to you, and that when you're talking with them, they just seem to look right into your soul without any kind of fear. They're just, you just feel like you're so at home with this person, and it's remarkable, and you want to know more about this person. And so, you know, you say, so can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I said, well, no, not really. Well, tell me about your father. Oh, I don't have a father. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, can you tell me about your mother? No, I really don't have a mother. Oh, wow. Well, can you tell me where you came from? No, I can't really tell you that. Now we're starting to get interested more and more. What is this person? So where were you born? I don't think I was ever born. I think I just always was. Well, how old are you? I don't know. And the more question that's being asked, we go, who are you? And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 7, the first three verses, we meet a man who's called Melchizedek. I think it's such an interesting name because we can't forget his character. He was simply known as a high priest of God. Somehow, everybody just knew he was the high priest of God. He was also the king of Salem, Salem later becoming Jerusalem. Let me just read to you these first three verses, Hebrews 7, 1 through 3. This Melchizedek was king of Salem, later to be Jerusalem. He was priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without genealogy, wouldn't have a clue who his grandparents were, without the beginning of days, nor the end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. There are some pretty remarkable people who've lived in this world, but we don't really know much about them. And even going back to Hebrews chapter 1, which is not on PowerPoint, we are reminded that there are angels all over us. There always have been, that Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, don't just reside in heaven, but they actually have come to live in us. And even though we say that, sometimes it becomes maybe, at least it does for me on occasion, a comfortable statement without putting too much meaning into it. But think of this. Think of the fact that God, who always was, never had a beginning, creates this cosmos. More and more solar systems are being discovered all the time. Creates it all. And this God God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit chooses to live inside of each of our hearts. If we can't be amazed at that, then something is wrong with us. We mustn't be wired properly. But the fact that God has come to live in us. And sometimes we get amazed at people like Enoch, who walked with God, or Elijah, known as a high priest, and one day he decides, I've done my job long enough, we're working at this for a while, I'm going to pass it on to Elisha, so I'll catch you later. And he begins to walk away, and he goes over a hill, and all of a sudden Elijah's terrified. Elijah was strong in faith as long as Elijah was there, and now all of a sudden Elijah passes the mantle to Elisha. Elisha's going, oh, I can't see him anymore. I was good as long as I could see him and be with him. I'm going to go find him. And he chases after him. He goes over the mountain, and Elijah is gone. He's gone to be with the God whom he knew because God had lived in him as God lives in each of us. Why am I saying all of this? There are powerful people in the scriptures, but they cannot match Jesus for what he continually does for us. If you wouldn't mind noticing Hebrews 7, 22 through 25. I don't want to influence anyone, but I want to tell you that this particular scripture has become one of my very favorite passages. If you're ever having a bad day, read this. Hebrews 7, 22. Because of this oath that God made, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant, grace. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is able to save, what's the word? Completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He never gets exhausted. He always lives in intercession for us. The high priests would have to continually offer sacrifices. This is not on PowerPoint, but I want to just read this, and if you're following your Bible, you can. I'm going to pick it up in verse 26. It's not on PowerPoint, that's okay, but I just wanted to picture this in my mind. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. I'm going to stop there. I'm not a grammarian. I don't understand this too much, except somebody suggested that the way this word is written, it should read this way. Unlike the other priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day after day after day after day after day after day. That's how that's written. It's just high priests were sacrificing all day, every day, day after day after day. First of all, for their own sins, then for the sins of the people. Jesus sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? He's able to save us completely. He sacrificed once for all, and now he comes to live in us, even very exhausted Christians. It's a beautiful book of encouraging Christians who sometimes just get wore down, sometimes maybe even drifting away a little bit. And continually the Hebrew writer, whoever it is encouraging Christians when they're tired. God knows you're tired. But don't shrink back from him. Emotions can trick us into believing things that we ourselves don't really believe. But sometimes we can get so tired, so wore down, that all of a sudden we have a train of thought. And after that train of thought leaves us, maybe after we get feeling better again, we go, how in the world did I ever start thinking that? Ever been there? You ever find discouragement sometimes comes like a blanket that just, you can't kick it off? But the encouragement for exhausted Christians is to realize that the great covenant has already been made. And the one who spoke the world into existence is living within us. And yet at the same time, he is not creating us to be robots where God pushes a button and this happens, but he allows us free will to choose to love him back. And so sometimes we're amazed that God has enabled us to accomplish great things of faith for him. And other times, we can't believe that we've pulled ourselves away so far from God, when really it's just God giving us the very air that we breathe. So I want a very brief message today. Just look at a couple of things about this Jesus who saves completely, with really the understanding, if we can put ourselves in the shoes, which is really one of the things about Scripture. When we read Scripture, we look at the context, who is writing to whom and why, and understanding the culture of the day, and then somehow making application to ourselves. So putting ourselves in their shoes, these are Christians who do love God. They're just getting wore down. Sometimes they're drifting away. Sometimes they're shrinking back, is how this writer talks about it. And so it's a reminder that God and Christ are with us all the time. I want to notice Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, going right back to the beginning. The writer begins with a aha moment. He grabs the attention of the reader saying, remember who Jesus is. Says this, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But since the days of Christ, you see, your Bible might say, but in these last days, other scriptures remind us that the last days began when Christ walked the earth. So in the days of Christ, he has spoken to us by Christ, his son, whom he appointed heir of, what does your Bible say? All what? Things. Meaning, I think, everything. Everything. Appointed him heir of everything, all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his being, sustaining, and what does your Bible say? All things by his powerful word. And then it goes on to say, and after he provided purification for sins, he's with God in heaven. All things. Meaning, one of the things it means, I think, if we could somehow take Jesus out of the equation, everything ceases to exist. Everything disappears. Take Jesus, who sustains and creates all things. Somehow we remove Jesus out of the picture, nothing exists. Nothing. Nada. No past, no present, no future, nothing exists. And the one who spoke our name, your name and my name, even before the creation, knew us before we were born, who comes to make his home in us, how can we shrink back? How can we back away? Anyway, sometimes we find ourselves doing exactly that. One more passage I'd like us to notice in Colossians chapter 1. Paul picks up on this concept of all things. In fact, it almost becomes so repetitious that we can forget the power behind these words. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. It's very much what the Hebrew writer says. In fact, if we had time, and we don't have time today, we could read Genesis 1, we could read John 1, We could read Hebrews 1. We could read 1 John 1. We could read Revelation 1. And we're hearing the same message. It is the constant need to hear that we are not alone. We never have been. See, when we ask the question to Melchizedek, tell me about your forefathers, his answer is, I don't have any. Well, tell me about your parents. I don't have any. Well, tell me about when you were born. I wasn't. We think that's pretty cool. But I wouldn't want to miss out on the birth of my kids. How about you? He didn't get that. He didn't get that. He was a servant of God. I wouldn't want to miss out on so many things that you and I get to experience, that a person who just kind of plopped on the earth to represent God in a powerful way never did experience. But yet, God experiences not just our birth, but all our forefathers' birth, all the people who lived before us. Tell me about your genealogy. Some of you know genealogies really well. I can go back maybe 100 years, maybe, and maybe not get it right. But there's so much more to us than us. So sometimes when we feel discouraged and we feel alone and we feel like, well, I don't really fit in with everyone else, we belong to each other. We belong to the one who created all things, who chooses to live in us. And because of that, we belong to one another. And you might say, I'm lonely. I don't have anyone in my life. You have people in your life. Look around us. And even people who aren't here. We're never alone. And so the supremacy of God through Jesus Christ is a reminder of this. Colossians 1:15, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the visible of the invisible God. He is the image, the visible of the invisible God. What did God look like? Look at Jesus. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him, here comes again, everything, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Just want to stop. I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but I love to watch shows on astronomy and noticing what they find more and more, more black holes, more universes in the sense of solar systems. They keep finding it and finding it and finding it and finding it. And yet all along, God started them with maybe a snap of the fingers or a thought, boom, there they were. Things in heaven, things on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. Doesn't say was. He always is. He always is. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Take him out of the picture, nothing holds together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, making it right. And the Bible talks about this, about the new heavens and the new earth. And it's not just once in a while it talks about this. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 19. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8. Peter talks about it in Acts chapter 3. Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah 65 and 66. Paul talks about it again in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a continual concept of God is not finished with all his creation in the sense of what will be. So we live for the next generation. And then he says, he is before all things, in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself everything, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He's able to do it. I conclude, he's able to do it. Well, he's able to do what? Whatever needs to be done in our life, he's able to do it. He's able to continually show us that we are not alone. One of the Harry Potter movies, which I loved them, I thought they were brilliant, was a very frightening scene. It was the scene where Harry Potter knew that he was going to face Voldemort, not the ultimate battle, but getting close to the battle. And he knew that his life had to be taken. And it was a profound battle. I mean, really, in a lot of ways, it kind of foreshadowed what Jesus was going to be going through. And so just before the battle begins, he meets people from his past. He meets his mother and father. He meets Sirius Black. He meets Remus Lupus. And they're all gathered around him. They appear before him. They're all gathered around him. Sometimes we have dreams of our forefathers. They're all gathered around him. And they talk. And Harry is fearful. He's wore out. He's tired. He's exhausted. And they're all around him. And they all died difficult deaths. And Harry says to them, more of a statement than a question, I really need you to be with me. And the camera zeroes in on all of them. You may remember this scene. They all smile and they say, Harry, you've never been alone. We've always been with you. And we will always be with you. It's a beautiful scene. But the one who speaks creation into existence can say to us, you're never alone. I've always been with you. And I always will. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.